That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has. We welcome you this Saturday morning to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving, November 24th. Coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And we say good morning to the remnant out there joining us with their Bibles open and their coffee poured. And we say good morning here. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And hope both you guys had a good and blessed Thanksgiving.
I know. Yeah, we certainly did.
Sure did. Just a good time. Well, real good time.
And we did here. And speaking to some of the remnant out there that I've spoken to and had emails from and that type thing, seemed like it was a blessed Thanksgiving for all. Just a reminder for us to, we should always be thankful, but it is a blessing when we can take this time of the year, gather with family, friends, and rejoice. Well, Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning, please, sir?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here, and we're thankful for this Thanksgiving season. We thank you for the time and fellowship that we've had with our brethren, and oh Father, what a blessed time of year it is. We remember the price that was paid to give us the freedoms, the liberties that we have, and oh Father, I know that we don't have to look very far to see that we do have much to be thankful for. And us as the remnant, Father, we want to come to your throne being thankful for all the many blessings that you give us, for our health, prosperity, for looking out after us time and time again, so many times and we don't even know it. Oh, Father, we ask for your blessing upon this radio broadcast. We ask for your blessing upon the remnant across this land. And the times that we're going into, we ask that you see to it that they are plentiful, that they're satisfied, that their cup overflows,
yes,
that you give them abundance, Father. We know that you can look out after one people and bring a curse down upon another. And right now, we just ask, Father, for that blessing to flow into the remnant, Father, to your chosen people, for them to be guided and directed through a work asking you that, Holy Spirit, through the protection that comes from your throne, we claim all these things. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll have the phone lines open today, 307-745-5913. And should have Cowboy Kyle back with us next Saturday. Kyle's been traveling and had a well-attended, and he said it was a good gathering last Sunday up in the Oregon area. And they had a good time of fellowship and being able to share with some of the brethren up there. And I believe he's traveling back, so keep him in your prayers. He's traveling back today. And with that,
yeah,
guys,
I got,
I'll open it up.
Well, I had a psalm that I wanted to share, and another scripture, we might get to it, but Psalms 100, just a real good thankful psalm. I know that my dad, it was one that his mom made them learn at a very young age, and just one of those ones that stuck with me for a long time. It starts out Psalms 100 in verse 1. A psalm of thanksgiving, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. The loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing how you look through the scriptures, you know, pick up a concordance and look up thankfulness or thanksgiving. And, you know, in times of trouble and times of turmoil, our people cried out to God, you know, and they gave thanks for what they did have, and they were blessed because of it. I mean, it goes back to that cause and effect. And, you know, people today, they are not a thankful people in general. They are a selfish people. You know, they're not thankful for anything that they get because they did it all themselves. They got it their way. You know, they don't look at things as blessings from the Heavenly Father, as, you know, a blessing for living an upright life or anything like that. It used to be, you know, people depended on God.
Yes.
And when there were settlers coming across this land and settling the land, fighting Indians, fighting Mexicans, planting crops, you know, they prayed for protection. They prayed for wisdom. They prayed for knowledge. They, you know, they prayed for victory. You know, they prayed for rain. They prayed for sunshine. And, you know, it's what got them through. And it's what they recognized, that their blessings came from our Heavenly Father. And, you know, now people don't depend on God for anything.
Didn't you hear? Obama gave him everything and built everything.
That was, I did see a sign coming down to when I was coming back from Denver the other day. And it was,
oh, that farm? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It said, my farm, and I built it.
Fire Obama.
Yeah.
But, you know, just on the thankfulness part, it you know, people need to learn to be thankful. You know, it's something that if a person can learn it, they're just a lot better off the sooner they do learn it. Because the Lord will continue to bless a person that's thankful.
Yes.
Amen. Rejoice always, and again I said rejoice.
Yeah, there's a difference between rejoicing and being thankful. There's two different aspects, but they do go hand in hand to a degree.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, guys,
I mean, it's just,
we got the phone line ringing this morning. Let's go over to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Richard, and all the other Wranglers. This is Ron Poach.
Well, good morning, Ron Poach. How are you this morning?
I am so doggone blessed. It's just absolutely incredible. The thing that I know is the kingdom message is true. I don't know how how it happens that the gospel of the kingdom arouses such vitriol, such hatred and venom And it comes from this dragon seed people. And I don't understand it, except the fact that I do know this, that the gospel message is going to break in pieces the image of the beast. And I think there should be some kind of hallelujah on the line. Because it says this, it says, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I don't know of any other news that's any better than that, Richard.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He will separate the chaff from the wheat, the goats from the sheep, and that day draws near. That day draws
near. Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's the first thing he's going to do, is separate the sheep from the goats.
Yep.
And, you know, that protective coating, Richard, on the outside of the wheat is necessary for the development, but at harvest time, it's no longer needed. And the chaff is burned up, but it's very much an integral part of the wheat during its development. It protects it from that outer, that outer coating protects the inner part, but at harvest time it's no longer needed. I love the way the Lord deals with me. He told me years ago, I'm going to take you down to the threshing floor and beat the hull off of you.
And that's one of the things that he does. I know the discipline, we sure learned that from Pastor Peters, that he disciplines those that he loves, and that's just the opposite of the way the world looks at it today. The pilgrims, we've been talking about Thanksgiving the last couple of weeks, and the pilgrims understood that he was chastening them there for a while, and but just as the chastening comes, the rebuke at times, the love and the blessings from God come after it.
They were a different kind of people than we've got today in this day of easy believism. I mean, they lost 52 of 102 if the first few months when they landed on the shores. Well, I'll tell you what, they were different. Different character, different day. But I'm glad that the Lord says he's able to deliver us today.
Amen.
You know, out of the very midst of Babylon, out of the edict of a fierce king, just like the three Hebrew boys, he's able to deliver us, and we're not going to bow down to the systems of this world.
Amen.
And I was looking at a few scriptures that have stuck.
Well, Ron, we gotta continue to move on here.
Sure.
Do you have a comment or something that about anything that we were talking on?
No, just that I want to reconnect with God's ability and the vision that He's given us.
Okay. Praise well, Lord. Yeah, we've got we just started out the show, and you know, we've got a couple of topics that we've got to get to. And we open the lines up for other people, too. So we're going to have to move on.
That's fine. Right. Blessings.
Thanks Bye-bye. So much. Thanks for the call this morning. You know, along those lines, we are, well, God is faithful to his people. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that is the only way out. It is for his people, but not when his people are still in their sin. I was looking at that verse earlier, and another one came to mind back in Psalms 81, and Psalms 81:15 says, those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him. And I think that works the other way as well. Those that pretend obedience to the Lord truly hate him. And how many times have we seen that throughout the years, those that just pretend? That the other term I think we have around here is that they play church. and they're just not serious about it. It's not part of their, it's truly not part of their life. It's just something that they do, maybe go to church on Sunday or tune into a broadcast here or there. But, you know, the word tells it. If you're only pretending obedience, remnant, that's not going to claim the promise of Romans 8:28. What do you think, guys?
Amen.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And people just, you know, a lot of it's just the spell's been cast in the land, you know, and people have turned away from God. You know, if people can get back to start reading their Bibles and start, you know, getting in the Word of God, you know, that's what develops the relationship with Him. Then you start realizing your sins, you know, and a person that loves God and is going after, you know, His heart, you know, they're going to, you know, want to correct, you know, what they are doing wrong. You know, anything, what is sin? You know, they're gonna want to get the sin out of their lives. They're going to try, you know, and run towards that goal to be free of sin.
Yes.
Where, you know, but how do people even know that? How do people know what sin is if they don't get in the Word of God? Because they sure don't hear it from these pulpits.
No. And they sure don't see it on TV. If they, you know, the majority of people, our enemy knows that we are sheep and that we are followers. And so they put all this filth and sin before our eyes, whether it's on the TV or in the magazines or just in society in general. And that is what so many people accept as the norm and is accept as all right. And you're absolutely right, Jason. You have to read the Word. You know, you can tune in to the broadcast that we put out and hear the Word read. And that's a very important part of it. But you have to open your Bible, remnant. You have to open your Bible, and you have to be like Romans 8:28 says, those who love God. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The only way to know what those are and to read how they were kept and at times were not kept by some in the Bible is to read it and to understand and to be part of His story.
Well, we can learn just by example and look at what, you know, what did King David do? He was a man after God's own heart. He was of, you know, Scripture teaches that he was a type of Christ.
Yes.
It is, you know, look at the situation. What is cause and effect? You know, and I think a lot of people would be better off if they would, you know, get down cause and effect. I mean, that's one thing that you can look through. You look through the Scriptures, and we see it over and over and over again. Children of Israel did this, God did this. Children of Israel did that, God did something else. Now,
yes.
You know, if people would get that down and understand that, but that's a concept that people don't understand. Try asking somebody to explain what cause and effect is. And it's something that not very many people can give you even a close answer to what it is.
Right. You're absolutely right. If the people would only go back to Deuteronomy 28.
That's exactly where I was going.
And
yeah, that's what I told them. That's quite a lesson to get them to read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 65, and see all the blessings if we keep God's law and God's commandments. And then if you read on from 65 to the end of the chapter, that's the curses.
Yeah, it is. And that really, what you're saying, Jason, I think, cause and effect, that's if... then, you know, if we obey God, then we're blessed. If we don't, we receive His curses. It's as simple as that. He is a just God. The Creator has that over the creation. That's the way things are. And that, many people don't realize, you know, that in itself, the if then, that's computer programming. All the computer programming is are ones and zeros. It's if then, if this, then it goes this way. If it's something else, then it goes that way. And that comes straight from the Word of God, straight from Deuteronomy 28. And we can have it nationally if our people, and once His people do obey the 2 Chronicles 7:14, then he will keep his word and come and heal the land.
Right.
For the people as a whole. But, you know, it works individually as well. That's one thing that as you read more and more into the true Thanksgiving story, you read some of the history books and some of the diary writings that, oh, the light and the glory touches on them, and some other books that we've just kind of pulled from the library here recently. You know, God did that individually with people in those circumstances as well as the people as a whole.
Yeah, I was reading this morning in Proverbs 24, because it's 24th, and what I try to do is at least read the Proverbs every day and the Psalms. Anyway, so Proverbs 24:19 says, "Do not fret because evildoers, or be envious of the wicked, for there will be no future for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out.
Yes.
My son, fear the Lord and the King. Do not associate with those who are given to change." Now, that's interesting, huh? "Do not associate with those who are given to change." What was Abomination's slogan?
Yeah.
"Hope and change."
Change.
"For their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that comes for both of them." Just those four verses, there's a lot of promise and direction in.
Yep. Well, and that's something that, you know, people have got to get down this fear thing. Do not fret of them. Do not fear them. You know, the evildoers.
Yes.
That's a commandment. You know, and fear is an energy. You know, if the whole duty of man is to fear God, and we went from a people that feared God, that obeyed the scripture and feared God, and now we fear the evildoers that are oppressing us and fretting over them, you know, what are we doing? Well, we're sinning is what we're doing.
Yes.
You know, we're violating.
We're empowering them, too.
And we're empowering them. Yeah, and I believe that, you know, fear is one of the things that falls under an energy. And, you know, according to the first and second law of thermodynamics, energy cannot be destroyed. It only changes form. You're going to fear, I don't care who you are, you're going to have a fear of something, and you're going to fear one or several. You're going to fear a power.
Yes.
You know, but it's not going to be, you're not going to fear God and fear these enemies that oppress us. And most people out there today are not fearing God. They're fearing the enemies that are oppressing us.
Yep. What you fear will come upon you.
Exactly. You know, and if you're fearing the wrong deity, you need to change. You need to repent of it. You know, and it's real simple. You know, repent. You know, say you're sorry. Learn to fear God. Learn learn His commandments. You know, and a person that's not right with God has a lot more to fear than somebody that's walking that upright life.
Amen. Amen, Jason. That, whew.
You know, it was interesting. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about scriptures, and I read him the scripture, and I asked him where the scripture was. And we'll just do it now. "If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people."
Joel.
Do you know where that scripture's at?
It's in Joel, isn't it?
I'll read the next verse.
Second,
"And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land."
Right.
You know, it's interesting because everybody remembers 2 Chronicles 7:14. Well, not everybody, okay? A lot of people remember 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yeah.
You know, but it's very interesting to me is they don't catch the verse before it. "If I shut up the heavens that there is no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." You know, and it's another cause and effect. You know, if I do this, and my people do this. And, you know, people really seem to miss that.
Yeah.
You know,
we've got pestilence on a land right now.
Yes.
And it's among his people.
Yes.
You know, who knows, maybe he's going to shut the rain off next, which in a lot of places this last year he did. You know, yep. There was places that were in drought, still in drought.
Yes.
You know, going into going into the end of the year, and how bad does it have to get for his people to realize what's going on and to get to call out to him?
Right.
But do that. Try to ask people that. Read that that 7:13 verse. See if anybody knows where it's at. And I haven't met anybody that's got it right.
It says something like that in Joel 2, though. I'm looking for it just so I can redeem myself here.
I think it does talk about pestilence once or twice in there.
No, it talks about shutting up the heaven, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty positive.
Well,
it's
a recurring theme throughout. You know, I've turned to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel 20:18, he says, I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers or keep their ordinances or defile yourselves with their idols. And he goes on and says, I'm God. Walk in my statutes. Keep my ordinances. Will fear and worship me. And it's that recurring theme throughout the Bible, throughout our history, throughout his story. And Jason, I like how you brought that up. It's cause and effect. Many people will realize, they used to anyway, that, you know, if we don't know our history, we're doomed to repeat it. And I like what you said earlier. You know, read the word. Read the story of King David, who, like you said, was a type of Christ, who had a heart after God's own heart. And now, he was just a man, and he sinned, and he paid for those sins. But he understood. He understood that cause and effect. And he understood he had to pay for his sin, so he paid for it. And then he picked his head up, and he dried his tears, and he moved on to serve God. And we would
you
do
read
well.
The Psalms, you know, there's David. He goes through this. It's like a wave. It's the ups and the downs,
yes.
Ups and the downs. He's on high, praising the Lord. He gets down in the dumps, you know, and he's ready, you know, for his life to be over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's being attacked spiritually, physically. You know, and what's he do? He cries out to God, says, Lord, save me. You know, and cries out with all he's got, you know, and, you know, saying, it's you who I fear, you know, and praising him. And next thing you know, David's back up on high again.
Yes.
You know, we see it time and time again.
We do. And that's, I can't remember how many times the pastor would do that in counseling people. Just take them to the Psalms, because there truly is, at least in our day and age, nothing new under the sun. It's there. You know, whether it is, like you said, a physical enemy that comes against you in the form of an ungodly government, or just a tare that is discovered among the wheat that comes against you, or whether it is a spiritual attack, which can be more devastating than the physical. We can read about it in the Psalms. We can see how David went through those and how he emerged victorious for that very reason, for fearing God and trusting him. You know, this is how God made us. We understand that we live in a fallen world, that there is sin all around us. We have to make that right choice.
I like the example you gave there a couple weeks ago, Richard, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, bottom line is, you win no matter what. The worst thing they can do is give you eternal life. So,
yeah.
You know, they proclaim that our God can deliver us from this fiery furnace, but even if he chooses not to, we'll still worship him, honor him. That's the mentality we have to take in everything that we do.
Yes. And it doesn't just, you know, once you become a Christian, you believe the word, you have to read the word. But once you believe, once you put your faith into action and repent and be baptized, according to Acts 2:38, you know, that's the beginning. That's like the army soldier getting out of basic training. That's the very beginning of your Christian walk. Many people don't realize that. And it's from there that you move on serving God. There's times that it seems like the whole world's against you, because for the most part, as the world hated him, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was against him. Guys, let's get back to the phone lines for a minute. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Wranglers, and happy belated Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
This is Caleb. Caleb Reed.
Good morning, Caleb.
Oh, it's Caleb.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
We're doing well.
Good.
How are you and your family?
Oh, we're doing well. We've had a very blessed time here lately.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's good
to
hear.
Yeah, I figured I'd call in and tell y'all good morning and let you know I was listening in this morning. And it's a good program.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Caleb. We appreciate you and your family. Tell them all we said hi this morning.
I certainly will, and y'all have a good, blessed day.
All right, Caleb, thank you.
Good day.
Good to hear from Caleb, good young Christian man back east. Kind of down
there.
Sounds
a lot like Russell there in Texas.
Yeah, down there in the south. And sure good to hear from Caleb.
Yeah, we were fortunate this year. My brother and his family came up here for Thanksgiving, and I got to talk to my nephew a little bit. And I bought him a real nice Bible a couple years ago for his birthday, and he's been reading it. And what's really kind of neat is I've been trying to teach him a lot of truth, and he questions me on it. And I'm glad that he does that, and then I can show him truth in the Bible. But the thing that was a little concerning is there's a man who attends those integrity deals I go to back east, and he does not believe the way we believe. And he told him at a youth group or something to watch out for the way I believe, you know. And then I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, you watch out for the wolves that are in sheep's clothing. I said, you be leery of a man who tears the front half of his Bible out.
That's
and
right.
Does not follow the Old Testament. I said, this Bible, you believe this Bible was directed by God, the whole thing? And he said, yes. And I said, well, then you use it. Use the whole Bible. And if he says something, you tell him to show you in Scripture.
That's right. And that's words of wisdom that would do well for all of our people to realize. How many times the words of Christ, if you have a red-letter Bible, now my New American Standard is not. I wish it was at times. But how many times do we see the words of Christ where he's quoting the Old Testament? You know, many times.
Exactly.
He does that. And these people that throw that out, they what's it say in Revelation? Woe to them that you know, take from the word, and that's exactly what they do.
Amen.
I saw I'm looking for it to get the right reference here. Here it is. I wanted to share this, and I think it ties in right with that. It's from St. Augustine, who lived from 354 to 430. So that's a long time ago. And I think it ties right in with what you're saying, John. It says, the truth is like a lion. And he means here the truth of the word. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose. It will defend itself. And
yep.
I was thinking of that when you were talking about how you got a Bible for this young man and he's been reading it. That truth will set you free, the word says. And I think back to my conversion 20 years ago. And you know, when my wife and I began to read the word from the Anglo-Israel perspective, from the Anglo-Israel Truth. When you read the true Word of God with the understanding of who the Bible's written to, and like Jason said, that cause and effect, that is such an important foundational truth that was and is and is to be, it answered all the questions. It answered all the questions. And the Bible does that when you understand who it's written to. When you take the whole Bible, the Old Testament and the New, it is like that lion. It's not that it really needs defending, because there it is.
Right.
And isn't that
if you read it? If you read it before you were baptized, then read it again, because
right,
that Holy Spirit unlocks a lot of the truths that you didn't see the first time.
That's right. I can attest to that. I had a person at Southeastern Bible College in Lakeland, Florida, give me a Bible, and I wasn't baptized. And I sat down several times and tried to read it, and it was like looking at Greek, and I don't read
Greek.
Was
it a King James?
No, it was actually a New International Version.
Huh.
And not that that's a version that we recommend now by any means, but all I had ever seen was the King James. And but it was that very thing, John. I was nowhere near ready. It was, getting me along the path, I guess. But I tried to look at that, and it just, it was like looking at a foreign language. Until we came to the point that we wanted to know what the Bible said. We had family that were trying to explain to us this Anglo-Israel message, the truth of the Bible. And, when we finally truly wanted to know, and I remember the conversation my wife and I had, that, let's read this word, let's read this Bible and see if what these people are telling us is really there. Because I'd never read the whole Bible before, but I'd been raised Southern Baptist and Free Will Baptist, and had gone to church almost my whole life, and looking back on it now, either on purpose, and it probably was on purpose, all that had done was prepare me for a life of sin. Going to church for 20 years, that just prepared me for a life of sin and for eternal damnation.
Amen.
The phone lines are ringing again, 307-745-5913. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee.
Good morning. This is Chris in Virginia. It's a good program this morning. What I got to communicate to you is real quick. Isaiah 8, chapter 20, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
There is no light in them. And who was the light of the world?
That would be our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, good day, men. Enjoying the program.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Wow. Because there is no light in them. Does that mean maybe there's a people that Christ is just not part of?
Nah.
Well, guys, on a current events, I've got a question. I know that because of this, or in this last election, we talked a little bit about it last week, I think, they basically legalized marijuana use in, California and Colorado? Or Washington,
yep,
and Colorado, or something like that?
Washington and Colorado.
What are your thoughts along those lines, Jason? What do you think that's gonna do for Colorado down there, just in the physical sense?
In the physical sense, it'll who knows? I mean, it right now is, they don't even know if they'll ever get it passed. Right now it's still federally illegal, and so who knows where it's gonna go? It's it'll be tied up in court for quite a while. They talked about rewriting their, the Colorado Constitution, because the people of Colorado have written on it or voted on it,
And, you know, the governor said that he would do that, but, you know, he governors against it. And so who knows where it'll ever go. I mean, it might be, you know, the people have voted on things before, and they haven't got them passed and have got it passed. I mean, people of California turned, you know, said no to gay marriage. And it's all it took was a judge to overturn it. So, you know, we're a long ways from, you know, seeing it legalized here in the state of Colorado.
I think we're interpreting it wrong. Gay marriage passed and legalized marijuana on the same day. So that means if a man lies with another man, they both get stoned. Wouldn't you agree?
I think that's what the word says.
That could be one interpretation of it.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, in the what little bit I've read in the past as far as marijuana use is that it tends to lead to stronger drug use, to stronger drugs and along those lines. And I don't really
know. And less
know.
Desirables.
Yeah, I don't
know. Around.
Yeah, I just know that's something in the physical that I've seen several emails on in the last couple of weeks, people asking, you know, what my thoughts were and that type of stuff. And they'll
probably allow them to use their food stamps to buy weed, too. Who knows?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
It appears to be like a sluggard generation, you know, that looks to that for relief from the world instead of to God or to their Bible.
I remember we had a person came to church, and we had just met the person, and what was it? The next day, he was trying to pass on some marijuana to us, and I remember the pastor.
What church?
To our church. Yeah, it wasn't just a day or two later. He hadn't been here a week, and yeah, he was trying to pass that on. And I remember the pastor looking at him and asking him, "Do you really think that we're that stupid?" And the guy just had one of those blank looks on his face, you know. And needless to say, we didn't fall into that trap either. Well, guys, the phone
judge
drinking
them by their fruits.
Amen. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Joe and PA calling.
Hey, Joe.
Good evening, all.
Good morning, Joe.
Good day. Good morning. I've got a comment regarding the marijuana issue. Being that it is a creation of God, I believe that it should not be illegal. However, with our body of man's law that is being acted upon, I think that just allowing one freedom to be not instituted, but decriminalized, and still allowing other freedoms to be barred, such as if a parent catches their child smoking marijuana, and they're not allowed to chastise that child because he's acting inappropriately. I think that it should not be looked upon as a good thing. Pastor Peters hit on this a few times, I think. He summed it up and said, "Thank God for Babylon."
Yeah. All right, Joe.
Well,
good point.
So, good job, guys, and we'll be listening in. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe. Have a good weekend.
All right, bye.
We'll stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. Cal here.
Good morning, Cal.
Morning, Cal.
I was listening to Jason, and I was what jumped into my mind immediately was that, as Pastor had mentioned, they're trying to take away written word or words or not have us look into the Old Testament, because in Isaiah 51, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock where you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit where you were digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. And it goes on to say that he chose a people, and he gave us a history of how they were able, when they were weak, like I am at times, to become strong by reading the history. How did they get out of it? They turned to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How wonderful. How wonderful is the history of our people.
Amen.
And God, to be God, can choose anybody, and he chose, fortunately, us.
Amen.
Amen.
This is a great show. And along with, just as a sideline, along with my reading of the word out of E.W. Bollinger's translation, I have the Shooter's Bible over here, and I'm drooling. I'm trying to get back to where I had a rifle and a pistol that had the same caliber, so I didn't get confused with what I was carrying. Anyway, keep up the good work, man. I appreciate your diligence. Thanks.
Thanks, Calvin.
God bless you.
Have a blessed day.
You too.
Okay. That's interesting, too. I'm reading here. The feds designate 9.6 million acres as critical habitat for spotted owl. Boy, if that isn't what the world's coming to, huh? Worrying about a stinking owl more than you do the people.
Yeah, when I was younger, when we lived up in Washington State, my grandfather on my mom's side, he came up, and he was a wildlife biologist, and he came up there, and they were that's when they were doing all the spotted owl stuff, and you know, it was amazing how many spotted owls or how many jobs they lost due to that outbreak. And
right.
My grandfather, being a wildlife biologist, said that spotted owls don't live in those trees. And they had one person that took a picture of this tree that somebody took a picture of a spotted owl in a tree that a logger was cutting down, and that's what pretty much shut the logging industry down for several years up there. And it wasn't even in his own habitat. You know, it was something that was flying along and spotted somebody chopping a tree down and stopped on the tree to watch it, is what was going on. But it was, and it, you know, there was people that industry was booming for years, and I would say that was in the late 80s, early 90s, and it came to a screeching halt, you know, because of, because they pretty much outlawed logging.
Yep. Yeah, they're saying here they proposed 14 million acres in it and negotiated down to 9.6 in areas of Oregon, Washington, and Northern California. Wow.
And then you let a few years go by, and like you said, Jason, late 80s, early 90s, you let 10 or 15, 20 years go by, and look at the last 10 years, the massive wildfires that we've had in those regions, and there's a direct correlation for it.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
True.
Now, and then we have to start importing lumber, and when you start having to import lumber from other countries, one thing is you get junk lumber. Number two is you pay way too much for it.
Yeah. Well, it's like Haiti. You know, Dad told the story about Haiti. Haiti used to be some of the most fertile land in the world. And forests, and what happened was those people, as they rose up and killed all the white plantation owners and farmers, they just went through there and clear cut everything and destroyed the land.
It's what they
did. Yeah, they did, and they were cursed because of it.
Right. Yep, they're doing the same thing in Russia. I've heard they got these ships that they go into areas in Russia and they just basically clear cut it, put all that onto a huge vessel, and by the time it makes it here, it's lumber.
Yep.
So they actually have the lumber mill on the ship. But I don't know if that's true or not. I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, this nation that God kept reserved for his people in his timing has had and still does have
all the resources.
All the natural resources that are needed.
Yep.
From natural gas to coal to lumber to oil to the fertile grounds.
Yep.
That will, will once again grow and feed his people.
Yep. Well, there's all wealth comes from the earth, right? got, whether it's food, oil, gas,
yes,
gold, whatever. But then we know that there's a group of people who've been cursed from the blessings of the land and have become parasites on his people, you know.
Yep, they cannot make the land produce.
Nope.
So they have to be, like you said, they have to be a parasite.
So, I think it's interesting, too. I was reading the other day about Freedom From Religion Foundation. Our good old buddies there in Madison, Wisconsin, are suing the IRS for not removing the 501c3 status of Billy Graham's foundation, because how dare him come out and say vote. You know, they kind of took a stand on vote biblically, biblical values. Or so even the persecution.
Yeah, wow.
And I understand, yeah. Of course, you know, they're not coming out like our church did, but.
Well, I say, let those two fight over there, and
yeah.
Maybe both of them will get wounded.
Exactly. And they're turning against each other, too. It's
exactly.
It is a Babylon God confusing their speech, you know, just like you said he would. It's a result of
Babylon falls.
Yep. It's a direct result of the
one of them turning against another.
Yeah. The prayers of the remnant are being answered. D.C., Babylon has fallen, and D.C. street sorcery has done a lot to expose that. I know Jason's getting close to getting some more of that out there, so Lord willing.
Yeah, it's people praying. You know, I think more than anything, it's you know, people are. I sent somebody the God Save America Again prayer the other day. They felt that they were supposed to be start praying it again, and you know, people are praying these prayers. They're singing, and you know, I think that as people continue on, just in their prayer life, they get to where their prayers get more powerful, because
yes,
there's not as much of a lack of belief or a lack of faith. You know, it's something that is cultivated in a person. It's something that grows, and you get stronger. It's a weapon. You know, and any time you start using a weapon, you know, you get more familiar with it, more familiar with it, more accurate with it. And, you know, as they use these weapons of warfare against our enemies that, you know, haven't been used against our enemies for, you know, how long? You know, we have no idea. But, you know, it's something that, you know, you become more accurate with it, and, you know, these prayers that people are praying are being effective.
Amen.
Our enemies are finally taking some casualties.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord willing, we've been working with our graphic artist. We're hoping to reveal a new God Save America t-shirt, too, for the remnant, so keep that in your prayers, too.
All right. Well, guys, let's go to the phone line. We've still got a few minutes left here. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Richard, this is Cal back again. I just wanted to add to Jason's, or Jonathan, I don't know which of you brought up the fact that marijuana was being legalized. It was thought of being legalized in certain states. A heads up for the folks that are listening. If you think you're going to play around with this stuff, there's a young gal here that were just found guilty of killing a father and a son on a motorcycle last summer. Head-on collision, she crossed over into their path, and she just drew a 28-year sentence for a murder. And I think the sentence was a little light, but she was telling the cop when she was at the accident scene that she thought zombies were driving her car. How about that? See you later, fellas.
Thanks, Cal. Wow.
Yeah, you know, you think about it in our enemy's mind. Is their goal just to come up with a new term for driving under the influence of smoke or something, you know, so that they can nail people with more taxes and more fines, and, you know? I mean, they've lowered the...
Well, and you look at... Yeah, I think that's exactly what it could be, too.
Another source of revenue.
Well, you look at the taxes. You know, how
yeah,
do they want
true.
To tax it? Go ahead.
No, you're right. It's like they want to do it. They want to regulate it like alcohol. So, it's
going to be
a revenue
25%
generator
from a grower to, you know, a store, and from store to an individual, 25%. Every time that that changes hands, they want to tax 25%. And they look to make, first number they said was $50 million a year on it, and that, I think that number is way low. I think that they're going to make hundreds of millions of dollars on it. So, you know, I think that that's a lot of what it is. And that's, you know, even if it's federally not legal, that it's state legal, you know, that's a state tax. You know, state tax, 25% on anything, that's outrageous.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, it's just, you know, it's because of greed. That's why that they're doing it. You know, but at the same time, should there be a law against it? If it ain't God's law, it shouldn't be a law.
Right.
Amen.
You know, I mean, that's the way it is. God's law or man's law? Which one do you want?
Yeah, people ask me why I don't wear a seatbelt, and I say, because it's a law. If it wasn't a law, I'd probably wear it.
Yeah, it's a
rebellion.
The people have rejected God and his law, and so this is what you get. This is what we've gotten. One of the things.
You don't want me for a king?
Yeah.
How about a mongrel?
Yeah, and that's where we're at.
Exactly.
Well, guys, we're about out of time. Want to make a quick invite. We invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. Right here, if you're on the internet, scripturesforamerica.org. 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Central, and noon on the East Coast. You can join us for the live church services. scripturesforamerica.org. We'll go out. We've got one scripture verse I just want to share, and it's 1 Peter 1. It says, starting in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while it is necessary, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, and glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Hope that strengthens you, Remnant. That's truth. Protected by the power of God. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. We'll go out. Pastor always liked this song. And see you at church tomorrow, guys.
Rolling, 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 stay high. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them.
soon we'll be tanning their steak hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.